You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album. It's time for Two Guys,
One Album.
My name is Paul Farvar, and together with Michael Heidemann, we are the so-called music insiders.
Yeah, we could say that. Music experts, music insiders, guys who like to listen to CDs.
Yeah, CDs or tapes in your case back in the day.
That's vinyls, Paul.
Oh, yeah, us millennials were listening to we don't listen to CDs anymore. But this is a great week. I think this is one of those albums where we're not going to have a lot of differences in agreement or differences of opinion, I should say, because it's a band, The Killers, and their debut album, Hot Fuss, which I think is one of the greatest albums of the 2000s.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hot Fuss, the debut album by American rock band The Killers. It was released on June 7th, 2004 in the United Kingdom. And on June 15th, 2004, here in the United States, the album is mostly influenced by new wave music and post-punk. Hot Fuss produced commercially successful albums, Mr. Brightside, Somebody Told Me, All These Things That I've Done, Paul Farver, Masterpiece, so many great
That's
songs.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time. But you know what? They're a great band, and if you read the book, Meet Me in the Bathroom, which talks about the bands from the 2000s, starting with the Strokes and how the Killers came on in a later point, you know, after the Strokes kind of opened the door allegedly for these guys and the Kings of Leon and everything like that. It's just awesome that they were able to capitalize on what was popular at the time and then commercialize it with these catchy songs.
Absolutely, absolutely. The way that they were able to encompass the transition of pop punk into kind of a more sexy kind of feel is a really great thing that they created. And you know, to be honest, they did it so right. The coolest band that I've ever seen perform is when I was The Killers, when I saw them perform out in New York, and Brandon Flowers came out with a glitter rhinestoned piano, and it just blew me away. I'm like, I didn't even know that was possible since seeing Elton John in the 60s.
Liberace, yeah. I was late on the bandwagon. The Killers actually played here in Chicago at Shuba's, I believe, during Mob Fest, which was music fest that
wait, is it a musical about the mobsters of Chicago? That's amazing. Is Al Capone in it too?
It was a pun on words, but it was actually stood for music over business. It was a huge music scene back in the day. Roger Jansen, I believe, started it, and it was great. And they allegedly got signed after they performed here, although it wasn't covered in that book, so maybe it's not true. But essentially, people, you can talk about it, message us if you know more about it, but I heard that concert was where they were signed by Island.
The chance to see The Killers at Shuba's would have been phenomenal.
Right?
If you're listening outside of the state, Shuba's is this great bar-based venue here in Chicago that can hold more than, what, 100 people?
200 people.
200 people?
Exactly 200 people.
Oh,
without
my gosh.
Seat. And a lot of bands have come in there. Kings of Leon played there. John Mayer, when he first started, people saw him there.
Really?
I saw a lot of bands there that have gone on to great things. But yeah, I mean, but The Killers did, I think that's where they were. Yeah, because this is well before Lincoln Hall. And
you know, you mentioned Meet Me in the Bathroom. I saw Nick Valenti from The Strokes there with his new band CRX, and he played at Shuba's last year around the same time, in fact.
And that's a great book, by the way, for people that love music in the 2000s. Meet Me in the Bathroom is like this collection of stories of all the bands that came through the New York sound, as it was dubbed, mm-hmm. and it was controversial because there was some a heated discussion or disagreement between Ryan Adams, not to be confused with
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, because he doesn't like that.
The Robin Hood soundtrack master.
Yeah,
I still remember
Summer of 69.
I still remember the music video for a while. VH1 only played that music video.
Yeah.
It was that and Meatloaf's "I Would Do Anything for Love."
Yeah.
And luckily they changed it up. But do you want to listen to the first song?
Yeah, let's go through it, because this is, and you talk about this in other episodes, how important a good first song is. And Jenny Was a Friend of Mine is such a good one.
Blast with that bass. You can hear that. It's going to kick you right in the gut from the start.
Yeah, that bass line is so awesome. It's like Duran Duran-esque.
And here it comes.
Chorus. So good. And I know that people talk about it as a punk and pop sound, but there's a wink to the 80s music. I don't care what you say. There's Duran Duran influences. There's the Police. You can hear it in the music of the Killers.
Definitely. And they did it so right and at the exact right time. And it was a fantastic opener to any album.
Yeah.
I think that the Police wish they would have written this song.
Stop.
They might be a little bit bigger
than
they are right now today.
Nonsense. They broke up at the wrong time.
Police. Did you say Police?
Police. The Police.
Police.
The greatest fan of all time. But that's neither here nor there. The second song on this album is what put them on the map, I think.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that drew me to the Killers originally was the way that they were able to create these lyrical masterpieces where you kind of thought you were hip just repeating the words of the songs. Like, somebody told me that you had a boyfriend, that I had a girlfriend.
Well, that's it's not just, this song. That's
no, well, no, this, I know this is Mr. Brightside, but it's like, it was only a kiss. It was only a kiss. The sure repeating of that created such a cool, like, hip.
Catchy.
Kind
it's
of
a hook.
Yeah, it's a hook. Yeah.
There's so many hooks in this song. Like, I mean, this whole part right here for the pre-chorus or chorus, whatever you want to call it, is amazing. So good.
You know, and it's just so cool that they create that poetic masterpiece because it's, you know as a guitar player and a singer and a djembe player.
Yes,
that,
and bassist.
That creating that kind of, transgression of just words, like so many syllables in one chorus is actually very hard on a singer.
Yeah, he's got a great voice and he's got a unique sound. But more importantly, the layers that are so subtle with the keys and everything, even when you fade it out right at the point, but like there's like a little subtle, you know, the keyboard that plays out to the outro of the chorus. It's so cool. They got so many things going on in the production of that song. And people that don't like the Killers, I mean, how can you not like that chorus? It's so catchy.
Yeah.
It's like bubblegum pop.
The funny thing about that song is I think today, I'm going to look it up right now for you, but that song is the most played song in all of radio history almost. In fact,
really?
I think that it's
nonsense.
Still... No, I'm 100% sure it is still on the Billboard Top 200 in the UK. In fact, there was an article about it a few years ago that it's still playing. I'm trying to find
Mr. Brightside by the Killers in 2004 by Brandon Flowers?
Yes.
Impossible.
I,
that's me stalling to give you time to
all
look
right.
it up.
The song reached 3 million in sales by January 2013. This album came out in 2004 and has sold over 3,559,000 copies in the U.S. as of June 2016.
But that doesn't answer the question about being played the most often.
Hold on. I'm looking for it right now. Okay, here it is. Right here. In the list of songs which have spent the most weeks on the UK singles chart, Mr. Brightside is currently in first place with 195 weeks in the top 100.
In England, though.
Yes. As of 2017, it has charted on the UK singles chart in 11 of the past 13 years, including a 35-week run, peaking at number 49 in 2016 through 2017. Holy smokes. That's crazy.
England. It's England. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count because it's in England?
No, it's not the most played song in the U.S. Doesn't count. Still a great song.
Don't America. USA.
Michael,
USA.
The one thing we agreed about this show was we are nothing if we are not accurate. And if we can't be accurate,
very true.
We can't move on. But speaking of moving on, we got to go to the next song. What do we have next? I think it's
one of my favorite Killer
Smile
songs.
Smile Like You Mean It?
Smile Like You Mean It.
Maybe we'll have disagreements.
Come on, these openers. You know what? I say it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite songs because you're gonna tell me if you heard this at a concert, you wouldn't be dancing and bouncing up and down right now, Paul.
I would be like nodding along. I don't really dance at concerts, but yeah.
You don't dance at concerts?
I mean, no. I just study.
Do you bob?
I bob.
Okay.
I'm a bobber.
I mean, that's kind of a dance.
Yeah. And this is kind of like too mellow to like dance to, but like just get into it. It's a great song.
Oh man, that
crunchy
sound
guitar.
Of that guitar is just nonstop.
I like it a lot.
The double hits on the hi-hat. Oh, come on. Here it goes. You know what? Okay, now I know why I like this band so much. It's because when I was growing up in high school and I was getting into music for the first time, loved the Cars, loved bands like The Reunion Show, and holy smokes, any band that used the synthesizer the way that they could and as good as they could make it, I was into that band. The Killers do it right here in this album.
Good call on the Cars. There's definitely some Cars sound to it, like a modern-day Rick Ocasek on vocals there.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to more of our Rick Ocasek discussion, you can check out our Blue Album discussion from two albums ago.
Yeah, our first review, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Weezer, Blue Album produced by Rick Ocasek of the Cars.
That's right. Do you want to jump into the next
one? Yeah, we got one of their other hits, Somebody Told Me, number 4 track on this album, Hot Fuss.
If anything, they do these intros right on this album.
A little longer than normal intros, but I like that. Usually they tell you to get to the point in 20 seconds.
This was the song that blew them out of the water. What a great, great song to open up the wave of just accomplishment, the MTV crowd. Everything that they did was just done right with this weird combination of lyrics and songs and half times, and it was just a great song.
Good song. Here we go.
It's get coming
such
up.
A cool song. Well, somebody told me you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend that I had in bed with you.
Totally, totally 80s influenced. You can hear that, like that great just Duran Duran.
Yeah. All,
I want to say Right Said Fred. No.
Wrong era. But the lyrics are kind of weird. Like it's like, it's kind of fucked up. Like what? Somebody told me that you had a boyfriend who looked like
a girlfriend that
I had in February of last year.
Yeah, it's what the hell
that's
does
so
that mean?
Specific and so bizarre.
Who is this person? I gotta know.
Yeah,
I want to know who it's actually
it's
written
such
about.
A bizarre, yeah,
and I'm sure that he's been asked a million times, and he's probably like, "Oh, you know, I don't know because
he's
it's gonna
English.
Make your own thing."
He's from Vegas.
Oh, I got
it's
the top
Paul
song
McCartney.
On the UK chart for the last 15
it's
years.
It's not Paul McCartney. It's Brandon Flowers. It's horrible.
In my head, he speaks with an English accent, even
though
he's not English.
He doesn't sound like that at all. All right, let's go on to what I consider one of the top 10 songs of the 2000s. Easily, if not top 10 songs of mine of all time.
YMCA by the Village People.
Also there. All these things that I've done.
Oh, and don't tell me Kanye West wasn't influenced by this opening here. Come on.
Very simple.
When there's nowhere else to run, is there room for one more sun? One more sun.
It's like almost Roy Orbison-esque, to be honest.
The vocal effects.
Yeah. He holds those notes.
If you can hold.
Build up on this is so intense.
Hold on.
And the video for this is actually really cool too.
I don't remember the music video.
Black and white, yeah.
Oh. They do those cool echo chamber guitars too in this album, which I really
like. The build up to the bass starting up is really cool there.
Who produced this album by chance? By Jeff. It was produced by Jeff Salzman and The Killers, except for track 11, which was produced by Brendan Flowers.
That would be Everything Will Be All Right, track 11 is.
Oh.
This song, I will tell you this, when you talk about jukebox hits, when you have $5 to put in and you can put anything you want, this is always one of those songs that I always look for right away. It's just like we said with Weezer, Say It Ain't So.
Yes.
That's in the list. And then there's those are songs that I just kind of like, it changes the vibe of the room because you know who's cool and who's not. If they know what the song is or if they react to it.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And those are the songs that are the testers or help you decide who's on your side and who's fake news.
It's fake news. I love
such
this
a good song.
It's such a good song.
And then there's so many different parts to it too. You got to remember, you have the intro that we talked about, the actual song itself, and then the build that I'm not I got soul, but I'm
no,
not a soldier.
Gosh.
I mean, that's such a cool vibe song that lyrics are so
you know
vague and whatever, but they're amazing.
I was gonna skip to the next song, but we got to hear that last part. I'm not a soul. You're
it's coming up.
I'm gonna just fast forward. The magic of podcasting right here.
Oh, you ended the song.
Oh, shoot, my bad. Let's go back real quick.
Well, people know what this soul.
Okay.
People know what it is.
You know what it is. If you haven't heard it by now and you're listening to this podcast, go back and listen to this album. It's fantastic.
Follow me when I'm at a bar with a jukebox. I guarantee you within 20 minutes this will play. If
fine,
I have $5. If I don't have $5, it's going to be a problem.
This is Andy, You're a Star. Not one of my favorite songs in the album.
Yeah, let's listen to it for a second and I'll tell you why it sucks. It never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're like, hey guys, I know we've been shitting hits after hits, but let's just take a break here because we can't all do it. And they probably had somebody like Brandon's cousin, Wallflowers, or something come in. Walter Flowers.
Brandon Wallflowers.
He came in. He's like, what do you got? He's like, well, you know, I know this, my friend Andy. And then he's like, that's it. That's the song.
Go. Say, yeah, Andy.
It's a horrible song.
Shame
on you.
God damn it, Andy. Why do you got to make us write this song? And Andy, you know.
No, Andy, who this is about. It's Brandon's cousin that came in and was like, hey, I got an idea.
Exactly.
And they're like, okay, let's just bury it between. Well, it's really hard to follow all these things I've done. So any song you put after that is going to suck. So they're like, fuck it. Let's put in
right
the worst song that my cousin Walter Wallflower.
But Brandon, I wanted to be in the album too.
Andy, please, for the last time, we can't put your song in there. But I wrote it myself. Come on.
I don't know who that is.
Gosh, damn it,
so this
Andy.
Guy's like a 14-year-old from Utah, it sounds like.
he's from Provo, Utah right now, and he's like, please, I drove all the way out here, though, you told me that I'd be on the album. No. God damn it, Andy, fine.
Sounds like a Jewish uncle in Miami. That's what that, and that can't be possible because Brandon Flowers was Mormon. Little known fact.
That's right. That's right. You know, this is a better time than ever to mention the fact that I went to school out in Utah, and I think every person that I ever met had a story about how they were connected to Brandon Flowers in one way or another.
Are you serious?
Oh, absolutely. And especially in Provo, the bands that are that reign supreme in Utah, Killers. Neon Trees, like they Neon will Trees. for the end of time.
And Mitt Romney's cousins.
Mitt Romney.
Andy, don't forget about me. Andy.
Andy Wallflower.
Andy Wallflower. Andy God damn it, Andy.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's hear it in the next one real quick.
Andy wasn't his name. It was the name of the song.
On Top.
Sounds like a Devo hit, huh?
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't put it in the wrong song?
Actually,
I forgot. I do like this song.
If anything, they were masters of just using that great, like, 3-4 time and, like, all these different time signatures. And that great, punchy synthesizer. Do, do, do. Like some other DJ in some
other town. It's been trying to tell me. Yeah, you know what? I forgot about this song.
You know what? Actually, I think that. I'm glad they put Andy, You're a Star in between those two songs because this makes me like this more.
Any song after that, you're going to be like, yeah, you know what? It's not
so
bad.
Not so bad at all. And kind of a shorter song, too. And then here it comes and kicks in the chorus right here.
It. Yeah, it's okay. I kind of remember this, but it 2004, I drank a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. And I think I used to skip that song.
Oh, you did?
On my Sony Discman that I would take to Bally's Total Fitness and work out.
Oh, you got to make sure that it's on the non-skip, too.
Yeah. It had the steady roll for the elliptical.
Paul, did that mean anything?
It did. I was very smooth when I was running on the elliptical.
Okay.
Or the stepper.
Smooth?
Smooth. Like, I would make sure not to bounce too, like, rough. Because I didn't want to skip, especially during all these things I've done. But during that song, I think maybe I didn't run that far. Like, I only ran until it was only 30 minutes of
workout. Do they still have a Bally's here in Chicago?
No, they're called something else now.
Mm.
But it was the one on Webster. It's called something else. God, it's going to bother me.
Oh, we got to look that up. If anybody knows what Bally's Total
call
Fitness.
Call us in.
Call us in. You can find Paul on Facebook and his website, paulfcomedy.com.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you can find me at chicagomichael.com. I'm trying to push
Michael.
That out.
And you have your Instagram. It's Arthur Fronzarelli.
Yeah, you can look up Arthur Fronzarelli, too. Like my photos or right. Dislike them. I don't think you can do that, though.
We can't promote ourselves without going. We got to finish this stuff. Change Your Mind.
Change Your Mind.
It's number 8.
Oh, this is another good one that I
song.
Like.
Solid. I like the...
You know, I like what Rolling Stone says about this album. They say that a lot of the singles are nightclub anthems in the making. The acid tongue singing of Brandon Flowers that blasts into the outer space on a wave of synthesizers with his cheeky choruses. Ooh, that's so perfect when it comes to this album.
The choruses are catchy as fuck. But the thing that it's funny about that is the key part that starts that song. It sounds like he just was like, oh, this sounds cool.
Yeah.
It's a basic, basic key line, and it doesn't go throughout the rest of the song. It's just like little beep, beep, beep. It's like, and they're like, yeah, all right, fine, Brandon, you can put it in.
Who does Brandon Flowers sound like that I just can't put my finger on it right now?
The Strokes.
He does sound like the Strokes. It's very strokey.
Casablancas.
But he has that great, like, 1950s crooner sound, too.
He's got a crooner voice.
Great.
I liked his solo stuff afterwards,
yes!
Surprisingly. It actually went, like, a step further in terms of being more poppy, in my opinion. He got more poppy when he left the Killers. I felt like the Killers were giving him his edge.
Paul, in a scale of 1 to hot, who do you think is the better-looking singer? If you had to go with Adam Levine of Maroon 5 or Brandon Flowers?
Just on looks?
Yes.
Well, Adam Levine is a little smaller. Right? He's a tiny guy.
Oh, that's a good point. Less hair, too.
I'm going to go with Brandon Flowers because, speaking of hair, I like his hair much better than Adam Levine.
Okay, speaking of hair, I was going to go with Brandon Flowers, right, too. Cool. He's a great looking guy. He seems like a nice person, too. He doesn't seem too cocky, which is I like. And he's Mormon, so you know he's nice. Okay, but on hair alone, Adam Duritz of the Counting Crows
greatest hair of
versus
all time.
Brandon Flowers.
I'm going to go with Adam Duritz. Such a great hair.
Brandon,
I know you had problems with it.
No, I don't. I'm just saying. Okay, you want to go to the next one?
Yeah, we got Believe Me, Natalie, number 9. Great song also. I used to like this one. I like the drums on this.
There's no drums on this song. It's just this the entire song,
it's
Paul.
Coming. Oh, it's coming. I can feel it.
Ooh. There we go. Oh, yes, I do like this song. Oh, man.
Such a good song. I think this was charted at some point, right? Because I feel like, or it's been in something.
Let me check it out real quick. This time. Okay, yeah, this actually, a lot of this album was the most charted album I could ever see.
But wasn't this in something? I feel like it was.
I can look it up right now for you.
I can look it up too. Maybe not as fast as you. Oh, it was in, no, I don't know.
Yeah, this was in Natalie Imbruglia's wedding. She loved this song.
Are you serious?
No, it's lying.
What did I tell you about credibility? We're not going to make another episode. We're not going to make it if we get busted.
Yeah, we keep
on
just joking around and making
shit
these
up.
Cheese steak. You know, this is about a good time to give you some insight into Brandon Flowers himself. I mean, I know that
you already talked about him before.
I know, but I wanted to give you
Man crush on this guy.
I do.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
He's a good guy. Brandon Richard Flowers, the youngest of 6 children, was born on June 21st, 1981, in Henderson, Nevada, to Jean Yvonne and Terry Austin Flowers. His older siblings are Shane and 4 sisters. So you know what? This guy knew how to talk to girls from the start.
Yeah.
He had 4 sisters. And he moved over to Payson, Utah for a few years. He lived in Henderson for a while. And then he spent some time living in Nephi, Utah, too, until he was in the 6th grade. And he just kind of grew up to rock and roll. And the thing is, that's so cool about these singers. Bert from The Used, another great punk rocker, is also from Provo, Utah, around the same area. And I think it just grows in you to kind of escape from, like, the mountains of Utah to create this kind of great sound. I don't know.
And they also have a lot of good baseball players. A lot of pitchers are from Provo, Utah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out Provo.
I'm pretty sure.
All right, you ready to jump on the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here real fast.
Next song. Now, we got to listen to this one.
Midnight Show.
I don't remember this.
Good start.
This goes along with that nightclub thing.
Man, that bass just kind of rules this album. I know what you want. I'm gonna take you to a midnight show tonight. If you can keep a secret. I got a blanket in the backseat on my mind. And a little place that sits beneath the sky.
Like, this is very Strokes.
Yes.
I feel like this is the songs that they were. And they are very. Brandon Flowers makes no secret about his following those bands at that time. LCD Sound System, all those guys. He came in after, made it more poppy. This is one of those songs that was not as catchy or poppy or have any hooks like the other songs did. And that's why it wasn't a hit.
That's a good point. And the cool thing that the Killers do with this album is they know how they write good choruses, and they're going to let you feel that. You can feel that stopping right before they get to the chorus to say, hey, you're about to dance, and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is a perfect nightclub dance song for the 2000s in New York. That's what that vibe is, and it's perfect, but it's not a radio-friendly song, in my opinion.
No, but that's
what
a good
do
point.
I know? Everything.
You are on the producer, going on the radio tonight here on WGN Radio in Chicago, so I feel like you know a little bit about that.
I do
that.
Know a thing or two about radio.
And you know what, Paul? Even if you don't, everything will be all right.
Which is the last song on the original version of this album. This is like an outro to every movie produced by Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes.
Where they're just driving in the car in the desert and they're just looking back with no end in sight.
This is the end of the Fight Club.
This is the only song that was produced solely by Brandon Flowers, too, of this album. Okay, so the one thing that you can't escape that is very Stroke-esque is this canned microphone, yeah. Which, you know what, people hate on. I kind of like it.
You know, I wasn't a big Strokes fan, but I always liked the Killers. I respect the Strokes, and maybe that's something we got to cover, but I never got into them. And I know I liked the side projects of Nick Valenci and,
yes,
and Albert Hammond. I think that
Albert Hammond, Julian Casablancas, great guy too.
Yeah, yeah.
Another great thing about the Killers is they're a band that's going to be there forever. Look at the consistency of all these members. Brendan Flowers, lead vocals, keyboards, 2001 to present. Dave Kuning, lead guitar, backing vocals. Mark Stromer, bass, rhythm guitar, 2002 to present. Ronnie Vannucci Jr. is the drums, percussion.
How racist that you just changed your voice for just the Italian guy. How racist was that?
Wait,
did you
a
guys
minute.
Hear that?
I needed, because I'm always afraid that I'm going to pronounce all these names wrong, and if I hit the syllables right, then I feel like I'm getting them right. And Ronnie, you know what? Give me a call, man. We've been friends for years.
And just so we're clear, this Everything Will Be Alright was the last song on this album, and it's such a good outro to this album. But the limited edition version had three songs: Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll, which is a hit, and The Ballad of Michael Valentine, and Under the Gun, which are all great hits. Do we have time to just play a few snippets of those?
Let's play a few snippets. We have about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
These were all previously unreleased in the US,
too. And they re-released it after the album sold a shit ton.
Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll.
This is a great song.
Brandon, I just said that name. Yes, I know.
Which is wild that this wasn't released and Andy Eurostar was. Like, Andy Eurostar should have been.
Right?
Like, I would. This is such a cool song. Right here. Here it goes. Have you heard this song before?
I've never heard this song before.
You didn't have the limited edition. I had connections.
Oh, of course.
At the Tower Records. It was behind the counter. No.
Sorry.
And then Ballad of Michael Valentine also was a great song.
Ooh, very Beatlesque, these starts.
And the harmonies. Or vocal lines. Take a ride in his car, late to call, when you want it to be all. Baby, don't be I like that one too.
Yeah.
Gosh darn
it.
So good. And then Under the Gun, number 14, the last on the limited day. Such a good song. This was a great, great song too. So while this is playing in the background, let's do the ratings.
Yes.
Michael, you go first. You know, our rating system is 11 is the most because we're going by social media, and 11 is when the picture of who actually liked it is gone, and 11 is just shows pure numbers of emojis and likes.
Yes.
What was your rating?
So, okay.
Out of 11.
Out of 11 likes, this is a great album. One of the most famous albums that there ever was, especially in the last 10 years. Brendan Flowers, you know, I have a great affection towards this man. They've never let me down in a concert. I've heard this album maybe 15 times through. I'm going to give it a solid... Ooh, this is hard because I gave Counting Crows a 6.
Yeah. And you gave Weezer, I think you gave 11,
I gave 11.
Loves. Or likes and loves, yeah.
I give them likes. I don't give them all loves. There's yet to be an album that I've given all loves.
All right. So what are you going with?
I'm going with, for the Killers, Hot Fuss.
This is... If you could see Michael right now thinking, it's like I asked him the hardest logarithm,
you know what?
Of pie.
Okay, here's what I have a problem with. The back half of the album, the B-sides, besides Everything Will Be Alright and Change Your Mind, that I wasn't too crazy about. And okay. that's kind of holding me back. I'm going to give it what I'm going to go with my gut, an 8.
Okay.
But then I'm
going likes.
8 likes, but here's the caveat. I'm giving it 2 wows.
Wow, okay.
And then 1 emoji with a smiley face with the stars in his eyes, because okay. "and you're a star" was just too bad to not okay. not admit. So fair I'm going to give it 8, and then 8 whatever likes. Else I just said.
All right.
What do you think, Paul?
I'm going to actually give it 8 likes as well. 1 love, 1 heart for mm-hmm. for the greatest song we already covered, and also a thumbs up, and also the emoji with the 2 ladies next to it, because
oh.
that's what comes with this song, because Brandon Flowers is such a lady killer.
That's that's a perfect yeah. Thing to go out on this album. So, this was a fantastic album.
Yeah.
The Killers' Hot Fuss.
Buy it today, Amazon or on our website. We're going to sell them. If you want our signed copy, just like our page, which we don't have yet. But where can people find out more about us?
You can find all about Two Guys, One Album. You can see us on WGNRadio.com. We're putting out these episodes every single Wednesday. They release at about 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you're an early bird, this is the place to be. You can see Paul at paulfcomedy.com. You can see me at chicagomichael.com. But mainly, follow us on Facebook and
yes.
follow us on our Twitters. You can Paul Farvar, Michael Heidemann. This was great. I think that we should do a Strokes or Kanye West album next.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. If you guys have suggestions of albums you want us to review, or if you're in a band and you want us to review your whole album on the air, we will do it maybe. So just hit us up.
Yes. And for now and until next week, this was Two Guys,
One Album.